Again, happy that you're here. And today we're going to spend some time looking at the passages found in 2 Peter chapter 3, and keep your Bible right there. 2 Peter chapter 3, looking at verses 10 through 18. And I've titled it, Be Prepared. And Miriam is right. Prepare for what? Is it disaster? Is it happiness? Is it wealth? Is it friendship? Whatever the preparation is, we can make that preparation. Can we bow our heads as we pray? We come again, O God, to study your words. We know your presence is here. Let your Holy Spirit take full control of all of us. Speak to our hearts. Let your words sink deep within us. And may we leave here today committed to be prepared to meet your kingdom. Bless us now and be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was a Boy Scout before I became a Seventh-day Adventist. Before I learned about Master Guide and Pathfinder, I was a proud Boy Scout. The Boy Scout has this motto. Anybody knows the Boy Scout motto? That's it. Be prepared. Just two words. Be prepared. And we were taught that under all circumstances, known and unknown, as a Boy Scout, you must be prepared. Prepare to meet winter. Prepare to meet summer. Prepare to meet rain. Prepare to meet hail. Prepare to meet disaster. You must always be what? Prepared. I want the church of God today to realize that under all circumstances, we must always be in a state of what? Preparedness. If we are not prepared, we're going to be left out. As simple as that. If we are what? Not prepared, we are going to be left out. The passage that Peter, we have today is Peter. The first time I spoke this year, I spoke about on 1 Peter. 1 Peter was written to slaves, written to individuals who were in isolated countries of the world, written to the church of God that were scattered. And 2 Peter is still writing to the same people. But in these circumstances, Peter was now writing to the church. By this time, false prophets were in the church. Do we have them today? You better believe it. There are false teachers that use the pulpit sometimes. False teachers in the Sabbath school. False teachers in the world. But I'm not concerned about the world. I'm concerned about where? In God's house. Peter had to arrest these individuals. So Peter wrote to the church, hey, there are false teachers in our midst. Then he said that these false teachers, they were devoted just to the world. They were devoted to the world. In other words, they are in church. They are talking about God, but their mind is fixed where? In the world. And they use the scriptures to let people know the concept that they share that, hey, we can have grace, but we can do anything we want to do because grace means that you are covered by the blood of God. So because you are covered by the blood of God, you have accepted Jesus Christ, you are free to do anything you want to do because you are now what? Free from the law. Sounds familiar. But to hear Seventh-day Adventists preaching it like this is bad. I can understand some individuals who don't fully understand what law is all about and what grace is all about and say, hey, you can do anything you want to do. But when you find people inside the church teaching individuals that because you have accepted Jesus Christ, you are free in him. And because you are free in him, look at number four, you can use your spiritual freedom to justify illicit sexual activity and evil deeds. Because they had then, and in the early 19th century, and in the 21st century, saying that they are holy flesh. So because we are holy flesh, anything that I do with you is what? Holy. So if I have sex with somebody who is not my spouse, we are holy beings. So it's okay. It is accepted by God. This is diabolically. It comes from hell itself. So Peter was dealing with this. It is not new. Same thing happened today. Many of us as teachers, we just love lucre. We love what? Money. Let me just say up front, folk, I like to have money. Let me just declare that up front. Because money gives you power. Money gives you a bargaining right. Money gives you the right to do something you can't do without it. But if money is your ultimate gain and your love for it will let you do things that ought not to be right, you're in serious trouble. That's what Peter had to deal with in the church. And I'm saying it has not changed today. There are people in the house of God today who are afraid to trust God with their money. Not only that, they are afraid and are wicked enough not to give God what is his. And there are some who will do nothing unless you grease the palm. Because for them, money is the ultimate. And they'll rob God to benefit themselves. But when you do that, you lose. Another thing that Peter had to deal with, and this is common in God's church again today, people love praise. Not only do they love praise at the workplace, but in the church of God today, unfortunately, some will never move to do anything unless they know they're going to be elevated. And I'm going to say it here loud and clear for this church since I'm here. I have discovered that there are some folk who will not accept office unless their name is not just leader. The name must be written in black and white. The name must be called in public before they can do anything for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is unfortunate, but it's true. And I have no apology. I'm just stating because I know it to be a fact. We have to change that if we are Christians. We are called to serve, not to get praise. We are called to serve, not to have our name written in the book of minutes. We are called to serve, not to be having your name pronounced out loud and clear. Whether your name is on the paper or not, you're a servant of God. And if you're a servant of God, by all means, whatever you can do to enhance the kingdom of God, do it. You don't have to get a plaque. You don't have to say thank you. Because whether the saints thank you or not, God has something in store for those of you who work faithfully and true. He is the one who gives reward. Forget about the praise. Oh, your voice is lovely. Oh, that's okay. But if you're singing just to hear that, forget it. If you're preaching just to say, hear people say, oh, glory, hallelujah, and you feel big and proud, forget it. Because you're not here for that. You're here to bring what? Honor and glory for God. Another thing Peter wrestled with, They were saying that the resurrection of believers was already past. Check it out when you have the time. The passage is right there. What they were saying that, hey, this thing about resurrection body, it's a myth. Don't wait for resurrection, because when Jesus rose, the saints that who were to be with him rose with him already. So you're wasting your time looking for resurrection again. That was done already. Forget it. Another thing they taught, and this is dangerous. They taught that Christ has delayed his coming so long. So guess what? Don't look for him again. He is what? Not coming back in our time. Not only in our time, he may never come back. So does what? Eat, drink, and be merry. Have fun. Because after your death, that's it. For we who believe in Jesus Christ and who believe the word of Jesus Christ, we look at things differently. So these false teachers that Peter had to deal with, they provided what I call a theological base for their freedom, their rejection of authority, and indifference to sexual morality. You see this Bible, folk? We can use it to do anything we want to do with it. But we need to study the word for ourselves so we can understand what is right from what is wrong, what is pure from that which is corrupt, that which is applicable from that which is not applicable. So these guys, they were smart. And we are saying to you today, the same argument they used then, it is being used again today. There is nothing new under the sun. For those who are looking for new light has always been around. If you are looking for it, you can find it. So then, let's go back. The false teachers swept away the reality of judgment for things done in the body. You know why? Because if Christ is not coming back, there is no judgment. And if there's no judgment and you have free grace and you can do anything you want to do because you have grace, then you are not accountable to anybody at all. Not even to God himself. So I can take church money, use it as I feel like, and the brethren will not bother me. Amen. But they are forgetting, Sister Morgan, somebody up looking down. There's always, if you can't become accountable to human beings, you have to become what? Accountable to God. So in reality, the false teachers were denying the master who bought their salvation by giving his life for them. So how did Peter respond to this? Quickly. Peter's letter, in essence, warns the churches vividly that if they are enticed out of the way of righteousness and they abandon their obedience to Christ, it will be what? Worse for them than in the final judgment than if they had never known the way. All of us who are here, we are without excuse. You cannot say you never heard. You can't say you don't know. You can't say you never got opportunity. All of us have gotten opportunity to become obedient to God. All of us have gotten opportunity to know God for ourselves. If we neglect that, Peter is saying that it was better for us not to have gotten the chance, much less to know what the teaching is all about. And look at verses 10 and 13, how Peter addressed the issue. 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's what he says. Look at carefully now. He said, but the day of the Lord is what? Will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be what? Look at verse 13. It says, nevertheless, we according to what? His promise. Look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. Simply, he was saying what? The earth, the elements, they are going to what? Burn up. So in as much as you are talking about your heresy, I want you all to realize that if you don't repent, you shall all be destroyed. You shall all be destroyed. So his response, quickly, captured this way. One, Christ is coming again soon. It is personal. He did not waste time talking about tribulation. Didn't waste time talking about the millennium. Didn't waste time talking about the judgment according to works. He did not waste time talking about the way Christians find their way into the new heavens or the new earth. All that Peter said, hey guys, if you love the world, if you love the things of the world, they are going to burn up. And if you give yourself over to the pleasures of the world and don't devote yourself to God, accumulating money, and don't spend your life building monuments for the praise of the world, all of these things that you're thinking about, they are going to do what? Can you imagine? Trump Plaza, gone. Buckingham Palace, gone. Think of some other place. The White House, gone. Your house, gone. Your money, gone. Your nice shoes, and I see some beautiful shoes, gone, burn up. The money you have under the bed or the mattress, burn up. Money in the bank, burn up. In the end of time, it is what? Totally gone. If you love the world and the things of the world, if you're speaking lies to people, you and lies will burn up. And I'm asking you the simple question, are you prepared for this? Are you prepared for this? That everything that you have, everything that you possess, everything that you consider to be precious to you in the long run, it values nothing. So we fight over money. We fight over houses and land. We fight over things that we consider precious to us. We kill people with our tongue and sometimes literally for things that we consider what? Important. I'm saying to you today, saints, everything will burn. And I'm asking the simple question, are you prepared for this? As we are now, are you prepared that one day everything that you think is important to you will value nothing? The only thing that will remain, Peter says, look at it now, chapter 3:11-13, let's read. Seeing then that all these things shall be what? Dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in what? Holy conversation and what? Godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being and fire shall be what? Dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Then hope comes to us. Nevertheless, beloved, but nevertheless, we according to the promise look for what? A new heaven and a what? A new earth wherein what? Dwelleth what? Righteousness. We are looking for that. But the important thing for us to understand is simply this. If the promise of Christ's second coming and the new world of joy and righteousness is going to fill us with hope and power for godliness,
we have to really believe it is going to happen. So could I ask a question? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is coming again soon? Are we living as if we believe it? Are we doing what we can to enhance the kingdom of God? You can't stop the kingdom of God from coming. We may want to do that. We may claim it is delayed. But God's time is not my time, not your time. It is God's time. And that's why Peter said, 1,000 years like what? One day in his sight. So it may seem to delay his second coming. But hey guys, he is coming again soon. Are you prepared for it? In my lecture now, two things you can be prepared for. Intentionally and unintentionally. You can be preparing for heaven. Are you preparing for hell? There's no in between. When the fire comes, it burns everything that is in the sight. And the only way to escape that destruction is to have your faith anchored in Jesus Christ. So, as we are, and I'm not going to say this side is fire and this side is heaven. I'm tempted. But I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. There is no median. You must either be with Christ or against him. You must either be prepared for heaven or prepared for hell. Prepared for fire or eternal life. So Peter is saying, hey, this is it. You must either be with Christ or against him. If you continue in your heresy, if you continue leading people astray, and if you continue following false doctrine, then you will not make it to the kingdom. Why? You are not prepared to meet your Lord in peace. But let's not kill ourselves yet. Because those of us who strongly believe and have what is called a confident expectation of a new world of righteousness and power, it empowers us to live for peace and purity in this wicked world. So we can escape. Amen? We can get ready to meet the kingdom when Jesus Christ comes. So Peter then counsels us in 2 Peter 3:14 to 18. Let's read it quickly. Wherefore, he says, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be what? Diligent. Amen? What else? That we may have found what? In him, peace, without what? Spot, and what? Blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul had according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And he says what? Also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which some are thought, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable, rest as they do also the other scripture unto their own destruction. And he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be what? Led away by the error of the wicked. Fall from your own steadfastness. But do what? Grow in grace, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be what? Glory forever and ever. So let's look at summary quickly. Number one, he said what? We should regard the time to which we live as a time for what? Salvation. Make peace with your God. That's how you get prepared for that. Number two, he taught that some things that Paul has written, they have the same authority as the inspired Old Testament. He's also saying that there are some scriptures that are hard, are not easy to understand, and misinterpretation can lead to what? He's also telling us what? Find peace and be without what? Spot and be what? Blameless. Then he's saying also, guard yourself from error and destruction by growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Remember, that every great goal of God in your life is that Jesus Christ be what? Glorified. Everything else is designed to what? To that end. So I'm asking the question again, are we prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Are we ready for that? Hear what Ellen White says, then I can begin to reassess. God calls upon us to awake, for the end is what? Near. Every passing hour is one of activity in the heavenly courts to make ready a people upon the earth, to act a part in the great scenes that are soon to open before us. These passing moments, they seem of so little value to us, are weighted with eternal interest. They are molding the destiny of souls for everlasting life or eternal death. The words we utter today in the ears of the people, the works we are doing, the spirit of the message we are bearing will be a savor of life unto life or of death unto death. She says, my brethren, do you realize that your own salvation, as well as the destiny of other souls, depends upon what? The preparation you now make for the trial before us. Have you that intensity of zeal, that piety of non-devotion, which will enable you to stand when opposition shall be brought against you? The time that so many are now allowing to go to waste should be devoted to the charge that God has given us of preparing for the coming crisis. Are you prepared for it? What is coming? Briefly, in summary. One, based on the Bible, the spirit of prophecy, perilous times are here, not coming. Wars and rumors of wars are what? Here. Persecution is what? Here. Economic and labor troubles are what? Here. Increasing of Satan's activity, here. Moves to the three unions of the three unions formation, that is religious, political, and spiritual spiritism. They are here. Great disasters, they are here. National and international Sunday laws? Not yet. But coming. But coming. False revivals? Yes. Martyrdoms? Yes. The shaking? Yes. The sealing? Happening. Closed up probation? For some? Yes. And then the what? Are we ready for these events? Are we prepared for them? Are we in tune with God? Are we ready for heaven or for hell? She continues, same book. She says, study your Bible if you're going to meet the crisis, as you have never studied before. Unless you arise to a higher, holier state in your religious life, you will not be ready for the appearing of our Lord. Let me read it again. Unless you arise, and if you are sleeping, wake up. Unless you what? You arise to a higher, holier state in your religious life, you will not be ready for the appearing of our Lord. As great light has been given, God expects corresponding zeal, faithfulness, and devotion on the part of the people. There must be more what? Spirituality. A deeper what? Consecration to God. And a what? A zeal in his work that has never yet been reached. Much time should be spent in prayer that our garments of character may be washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. I ask the question again, are we prepared for this? Are we ready? I don't believe that we have much longer here based on what I'm saying. But are we ready for the crisis? Are we ready to be persecuted? Are we ready to stand up for our faith and defend our faith in the midst of your same members giving witnesses against you? That's what is being taught in the Word of God. Are we ready for that? Are our minds fortified with truth? So if we don't have the Bible, we can give testimony and talk about the goodness of God and what the Bible says, which is true against that which is false. Are we preparing ourselves for the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? That's the reality. I think, saints, it is time for us to stop playing church. Stop hating each other. Stop being unkind to each other. Stop criticizing each other. Start loving each other. Start doing the work that God has given to us as we have time in time of peace, because the day will come. You'll be forced to either do it or take sides on the side of the devil. I can only beseech you to do what God says. Hear what Ellen White says in the book Early Writings, page 71, as I bring it to a close. She says, I saw that many were neglecting the preparation so needful and were looking to the time of refreshing and the latter rain to fit them to stand in the day of the Lord and to live in his sight. Oh, she says, with pathos in her voice, I would imagine, how many I saw in the time of trouble without a shelter. They had neglected the needful preparation. Therefore, they could not receive the refreshing that all must have to fit them to live in the sight of a holy God. God have mercy on us. Are we prepared to stand up for right? Are we prepared to stand up in the midst of trials and tribulation and declare that God is a true and living God? Are we prepared to be tormented and persecuted by friends and family members, your own members within the church? Yes, sir, he was one who talked about the Sabbath. Lock him up. It's coming. And in some places, already there. But she's saying, we are not fit. We are not ready even to receive the Holy Spirit, which will help us to stand in the end of time. Saints of the true and living God, are we prepared? I'm going back to what I started by saying. You are either preparing for heaven or preparing for hell. You can know the difference. Because if you spend time, as she said, studying the word, if you spend time feasting and talking about the love of God, if you spend time becoming more like him, growing up in grace, witnessing for him, use every opportunity you get. If a door is open, walk right in and let people know who you are. A child of the true and living God. Are we ready for the crisis? Are we ready for Jesus to come? Are we preparing ourselves to stand faithfully, stand tall, and be true to the cause of God? Or are we just going to slide by and let the thing pass us by? No, it's not the time to be fighting each other. No, it's not the time to be hating each other. No, it's not the time to be criticizing each other. No, it's not the time to be putting down each other. Now is the time to be united, because we have one cause: to spread the good news of salvation and to prepare ourselves and prepare others to meet our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My simple word today, and I'm praying that all of us who are here, we will be prepared. Be prepared. So when he comes, not one will run, but rather run to him and say, Lord, this is our God. We have long waited for him. Praise God. He will save us. He will take us home and we shall be with him forever. That's my prayer. What is yours? What is your desire? Saints, all of us can be ready. All of us can go home. Let's put aside worldly attraction. Let's put aside the love for money. Let's put aside the desire to work just to get money to buy food and to pay the bills and neglect the work of God. We have to blend them. If you sacrifice one for the other, you're in trouble. But let us reflect. Let us think. Let's ask ourselves a question. Whose side am I on? The side of the devil or the side of Jesus Christ? The good thing about it, either side you're on, people will know. It only takes time. We can hide. We can deceive. We can tell lies and some won't know. But as one author says, you can fool what? Some people what? All the time, but they can't fool all the people all the time. And apart from that, you can't fool God. Whatever you did in darkness undercover, behold, your sins shall find you out. And I think it is time for us to come to that acknowledgement that God is real and God loves us and God is able to help us. All we need to do is depend on him. And I'm making that call today that as you get ready and be prepared, if it's your desire that you want to make that call, to allow Jesus Christ to live within you, work within you, to magnify his name within you, and to say, by God's grace, I want to be ready, not for hell. I want to be ready to go home with you. If you call me home now and I should die, I should go home to rest with you until you come again. And if I should be alive when you appear, I can be caught up to meet you in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What are you preparing yourself for? The elements to be burned up with? Or are you preparing yourself to be in God's eternal kingdom, to live with him forever? Where are you going today, saints? If it is your desire to be by God's side, so by God's grace, I want to be ready to be with him, to avoid the fire. I want Jesus Christ to live within me so I become more like him day by day. Won't you just stand and give God the glory today? Don't stand because you feel like. Stand because you are committing yourself to him. Because, saints, you must either be what? Prepared for heaven or preparing for what? Hell. Choose ye this day, the Bible says, whom you will serve. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. I give God thanks for those who are standing. But I'm going to go one step further because perhaps there's somebody here today not yet fully surrendered to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you need to get ready. Need to be prepared. I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand where you are. Not yet a baptized member of the church. Not yet fully surrendered to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you want to say, by God's grace, I want to be ready to be with him when he comes. Won't you just raise your hand where you are? Won't you just raise your hand where you are? Not yet baptized. Not yet baptized. But if you are here, don't leave here today unless you make that commitment that you want to go home, be with your Lord when he comes. Do we have one here today? That's all I'm asking. Just raise your hand where you are. Make that decision now. Make that decision now. You are prepared either for heaven or for hell. Which one will you choose? My simple recommendation is choose Jesus Christ and go home to be with him when he comes a second time. Do we have a hand today? I'll wait a little longer. Not yet baptized. Not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Now is the time. Now is the moment. Now is the time for decision. Won't you just raise your hand where you are so we can pray with and for you? Do I see one hand? And must I assume all the children are in? Everyone who is here is a member of the fold, and you are ready to go home with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then I say to God be the glory. Shall we bow our heads as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the word you have given to us. We thank you for the opportunity where we are still alive, we can be prepared to meet you when you come. If we fail to do that, O God, we shall be preparing ourselves for hellfire. But that's not our desire as we stand today. We are saying we are standing because we love you. We want to be more like you. We want to reflect your glory and to give you the honor and the praise. Accept us, O God. Rid us of sin and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can live above evil. Do what is right. Spend time studying your words. Spend time witnessing about your goodness and your grace. Spend time talking to you more than how we spend time socializing. Oh, Father, cleanse us, we pray. Take everything that is looking unlike you and let your Spirit reside in us. Accept our prayers. Accept our commitment. And keep us faithful until you come. For these mercies we ask. In Jesus' name, can God's people say, amen.